guys, welcome to another special edition of The Lemonade. I have still not came up with the name. I know that you've been waiting on that, and I probably said that two or three times prior to this, but I promise you, before maybe San Diego Comic-Con, I'll probably come up. I'm lying. It'll come one day. One day you all will be listening, and you'll be like, oh, she finally came up with something. But let me shut up. I have Miss Velissa Thompson with me. And if you're not familiar with her, she is the creator of Ramp Your Voice. I hope you've seen her tweets because she is funny. And I have brought her on because there's just so much that I want to talk to her about, especially since we share love for Misty Knight. So, Velissa, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's 2 days before Friday, so I'm happy.
No, that's right.
No, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. So
good.
I'm glad to talk with you because I know we cut up on Twitter a lot.
Oh, yeah. And Twitter is hopefully by the time this airs, the Iron Fist shitstorm has probably hopefully been cleaned up and it's settled. But in the meantime, that is what is going on along with all the other craziness, ashiness, and, you know, the happenings of the timeline.
Of course.
So, Velissa, I like to ask my guests, for the most part, when I do remember, what is their origin story? So how did you come up with Ramp Your Voice? What was the inspiration behind that? And just, you know, tell us everything you possibly want to about Ramp Your Voice.
Okay. Well, I created Ramp Your Voice in 2013. So it's going on 4 years this summer as a way to create a space for myself so that I can talk about the issues that matter to me. I saw a lack of diversity when it came to disability in storytelling and the writers. And as a Black disabled woman who has a social work background, who has life experience as a disabled person, I really wanted to talk about, you know, different subject matters from my lens. So Ramp Your Voice was my way of empowering myself and has, in a way, taking a life of its own to be this source of empowerment for disabled people, particularly Black disabled women. Ramp Your Voice means, for me, this safe space to where the realness comes into place, where I can talk about racism. I created the Disability to White hashtag almost a year ago in May that talked about the erasure of disabled people of color and how that affects us. Talk about the stories of Black disabled leaders who have been erased from our history books. I allow Black disabled women to share their stories, which is what I'm doing this month for Women's History Month, and featuring some of my favorite Black disabled advocates whose stories are, you know, worthy of being heard and whose voices are incredible. And I am very blessed to have them in my life as friends. So Ramp Your Voice has just been this space to where I can tell the stories that I felt was missing. And since its creation, I have been approached, especially by Black disabled women who really say that they're fortunate that there is a space created by somebody that looked like them. In a disabled community, you look at the leadership, you look at the names, and it's usually white disabled people, particularly white men and middle to upper class. So you have erasure of color voices, people who are not in the higher socioeconomic brackets, and also women and those of other gender identities. So for me, Ramp Your Voice and other great advocates who have came along the way around the same time that I created Ramp Your Voice has been pushing against that that norm that has been the steadfast reality in our community. So for me, I'm known as a troublemaker, a proud hellraiser, and and just unapologetically Black and disabled. I really want, particularly our community as Black people, to really relook at the way that we think about disability and to really see Black disabled voices and value us more. I know that's something that I'm really am passionate about in doing that work in our community, as well as to really allow Black disabled people to have a space that's their own and to really see their stories, because I know that being a woman who's has a brittle bone disease, who's in a wheelchair, who's out of hearing, and who's a little woman, I didn't see women like me or people like me in general growing up. And I know that really affected my ability to really love my body, to love my experience, to see that I'm worthy. And it really wasn't until I started Ramp Your Voice where I started to feel empowerment. Like, I felt empowered as a Black person, but not as a disabled person. And to have that detachment to my identities, you know, was hard. And I really want Ramp Your Voice to be seen as that space for the next generation of up-and-coming advocates, as that space to where they don't have to, you know, live in a world where they don't see Black disabled people. They don't see their stories in the media or on online or in TV. So Rep Your Voice has just been this empowering space for, you know, those who have migrated to it over the past 4 years. And I'm very proud of what I created. I never imagined that me starting this blog and then me building it up the way that I have would have such an impact. And it's very humbling to do that work and to be seen as a leader of sorts. So that's basically my origin story of starting Rep Your Voice out of just wanting something new and wanting to really have something that's intersectional and diverse and, you know, just take leadership and ownership of my own story and allow others to do the same.
That is amazing, and I'm over here tearing up. But because I don't know, maybe that's why I get so irritated when people say things like create your own. It's just like, but there are folks out here creating their own spaces and doing it every single day and doing the work, but you're just too lazy to just click. That is all you have to do is just click. That's it.
Oh my gosh, you are not lying about that, because that's what made me create the Black Disabled Woman syllabus, because I got tired of white people asking me, disabled white people, in fact, why do you talk about Black disabled women or Black disabled people? I'm like, huh, here's this resource. You go do your own education. Like, don't sit here and check me about why I'm speaking for my people. I'm speaking for us, because who will do it but us? And, you know, creating those spaces, you know, means so much for us. But it's like what you're doing with your podcast, what I've done with Rap Your Voice. You know, 5 years ago, none of these spaces has really existed before then. So now to have them, you know, is, you know, pushing against the whiteness or the maleness or whatever the dominant culture is, and really saying that, hey, we have value in our existence and human experience matters as well.
Exactly. Listen, I cannot agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. And just as somebody on the outside looking in, I think that is just supremely important, because you're absolutely right. The only times that I've really heard the stories of people with disabilities has been from the white perspective and the majority, because that's usually what you see on the news or in different documentaries that might be on HBO or PBS. Just that's usually the focal point. And that's a problem, because they aren't the only voices.
Right.
So no, the creation of Ramp Your Voice is, I think, is phenomenal and is important. And I do hope, and I know you do, but I just have to reiterate that I really hope you understand how important the work that you're doing is. Not even just, I mean, of course, to folks with disabilities, but also for us on the outside looking in, because we need to know your stories as well.
Right.
I think that's important, because amplifying those voices, because that's the best that, you know, that's what I can do to help. So no, I thank you for even taking the time out to even think of creating a space. That is phenomenal, Melissa. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Steph. And it really means so much to have that support from, you know, Black women, especially Black women, because we know what it's like, you know, to step out there and create something that's different. And we know the pushback that we're going to get just for speaking our truth and, you know, and being unapologetic about it. So that means a lot to have support of women like you, you know, as, you know, especially non-disabled women who are willing to learn, who are looking to be allies and who value those experiences. We need more of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, we do. Like, something that I think is becoming a moniker for me, and I'm just like, you know, as far as representation goes, you know, unless we all getting our piece of the pie, and I mean, you know, a good amount, everyone, you know, we're not really winning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just because I have mine doesn't mean that the battle is over. No, it needs to, you know, what we see, what we consume really does need to begin to truly reflect, you know, how the world really is.
Right.
So, segueing, I'm getting better at this. So, segueing into actually the topic of representation, I wanted to ask you, as far as representation goes, how do you feel you've been represented? I know you touched on this while talking about Ramp Your Voice, but, you know, how do you feel it's been, whether it be comics, TV, movies, media, like, you know, can you talk a little bit more about that? And then also, if you have any characters that you feel you've been able to relate to and how important they are, and if they've been problematic, just, you know. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, we know one character that we both have a love for, which mm-hmm. is Misty Knight. And Misty has a special place in my heart because she is a Black disabled woman. And she is the first character that I saw who was Black disabled woman for me. And I know that everybody talks about Barbara Gordon, who is also a great piece of representation when it comes to her story in comics. But it's always white people whose stories that you see. And mm-hmm. even though Barbara, like I say, is fantastic in her own right, I, as a Black disabled woman, can only relate to her but so much. So to find the very few characters like Misty Knight who represents me fully is special. I really wish that there were more Misty Knights in comic strips, because there are disabled blurs like myself who want to see that representation, want to see characters who look like them having romances and kicking butt and, you know, being a hero and just, you know, being human in every way possible. So that representation is so powerful to have in literature and then on film and big screen and small screen. So I really wish that creators would not only create these characters, but create them so that they're realistic to us and not have that inspirational porn feel of, you know, being the good character or, you know, playing on these gross disability tropes that we tend to find.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I'm able to find characters like Misty and Barbara who represent me either wholly or at least maybe a wheelchair user like myself, like Barbara Gordon is, you know, that really lets me see that I too belong in comics, or I too belong on the big or small screen. And that my human experience is going to be seen, you know, by a wide audience, and hopefully they have a better understanding, if the character is done right, what the disabled experience actually is versus what society thinks it is, which is full of pity and despair and struggle and tragedy. Like, for me personally, I'm not struggling or a tragic story as a disabled person. I'm out here living, you know, living my life, getting money, you know, getting my education. Got, you know, dating and all that. Like, I'm like everybody else, you know, so it's not like being disabled is, you know, this pitiful life journey. And so I think that when we have representation where we see disabled people being human, because that's what we are
human, right,
that really shatters some of the ableism, some of the myths and misconceptions about what being disabled is. So representation is so important, so that educational aspect, even if it's indirectly by just looking at that character, occurs.
Yeah, this is why, one, I really hope Misty Knight ends up getting a solo comic, because I don't know if you, of course you just told me, but we talked about this in MKUA mm-hmm. about how she has never really dealt with losing her arm. Mm-hmm. And that was just something, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I always found that funny. Like, why did we not really see her deal with this? And to me, that would be something that would be a really great opportunity mm-hmm. to show some representation of someone, you know, losing a limb and then working through it. Not, you know, not a depressed story. It doesn't even have to be that. It's just, you know, dealing with it like any human being would deal with it. And unfortunately for her, whenever they do bring up, you know, her incident and what happened. And if you guys aren't familiar, Misty loses her arm when a bomb goes off. She was working as a police detective. But whenever someone actually does bring that up, she gets guarded and she doesn't want to talk about it. And it's just really closed off. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I really hope that if she ever does get a solo book, which she's long overdue, that's something that they, you know, they explore. Because like that is a great opportunity, in my opinion, to show representation in that matter, too. Because like you said, that would help get rid of some of this ableism and negative comments connotations when it comes to the daily life of somebody with a disability, which is a problem because people read comics and that would be an opportunity to do so.
Right. And I think that I know for me, as somebody with a physical disability, there are days where you may, I don't want to say hate to being disabled, but you may feel down about it. So yeah. Really giving Misty that space to really explore that, you know, is a part of her origin story, and mm-hmm. they should not be afraid to explore that. Now, there's a way that you can explore that and it not be problematic, and that
right.
has to be assured, but to really allow her full humanness, because that goes back to what I was saying about seeing us as human. Like, sometimes it's not even about being disabled that's the struggle. It's the, you know, the ableism, the, you know, misperception about what you can or can't do. Like, mm-hmm. maybe exploring that with Misty about, you know, how she feels about her arm, how that appearance of her having, you know, one limb or having a prosthetic limb, you know, how she may be viewed by others, you know, dating yeah. life, like giving her that space to really talk about that. Like, that would be so empowering for, especially like young children to read who mm-hmm. may have a prosthesis or someone with a physical disability or somebody who's not physically disabled, to really see like, oh, you know, Misty has bad days too. And Misty, you know, she can, you know, still go beyond that and see that she's still worthy and she's still beautiful and she's still badass. Like, just giving her that space to really explore that human experience, that humanness, would be so important for her story. And I wish that they would do that as well, because to really skirt away from that really shows in some way their discomfort in allowing mm-hmm. her to be disabled. And that's problematic within itself.
I couldn't agree more. Preach, my hand is raised because you're preaching to the choir right now. I could not agree more.
And that goes back to the way society looks at disability, you know, like yep. this, you know, taboo subject to not really explore. And you kind of see that in these comics, you know, mm-hmm. the traces of some of those taboo storylines or taboo subject matters. And that's definitely one of them.
No, and actually hearing you say that, that actually kind of made me think, because before, it's like, why won't they touch on this? But it didn't really dawn on me that they were just flat out just scared or didn't know how. But then that's just like, okay, well, if you don't know, then that's when you phone a friend.
Exactly. And so, when you reach out to people like me and like other right. disabled blurs and be like, how do we explore this that's appropriate and that really is empowering to Misty's story? Like, it's right. not hard to do.
Mm-mm.
Especially no. nowadays, when you got the internet, you just have to Google. Like, Google or go on Twitter. You
will yes. like, literally slide into someone's DM and say, exactly. hey, can I email you? Yeah, exactly. I mean, you are so right. All right, before we started recording, and I should have been recording our banter because that would have been fun, but I'll do better. we were talking about Superstore. Mm-hmm. And, wow. See, I should have had that one because I can't think of the character's name.
Oh, Garrett?
Yes, Garrett. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you tell the folks all the funny stuff you told me about him prior? Because, like I said, I should have been recording.
No, with Garrett, I told Steph that Garrett would be me if I had to deal with the problematic white folks at the retail store that the series is based in. Garrick is a black disabled character who works in retail. And on one hand, Garrick is, for me, good representation because he is really everything that you could embody in a black person who's dealing with all these white people, and he has to keep them in line and sometimes has to check and gather. And then on the other hand, you know, the actor that plays Garrick is not disabled, and we call that cripping up, meaning that a non-disabled actor is playing a disabled role. So that's where some of the problematic aspects of it come into play, to where Hollywood does this thing to where it doesn't hire disabled actors and actresses to play the roles that they should be. And that, you know, leads to questionable representation at times, and the detachment of being able to fully relate to that character because it's not played by someone who's actually disabled. So though I do enjoy Garrett and all his realness and what he deals with in the storyline, I do wish that he was played by someone who was actually disabled to really make it more relatable to my experience. Because really, Garrett is one of a handful of black disabled characters that I've seen on the small screen in my 30-something years of watching TV. So
yeah, you're right.
And really, and if you think about it, there really have not really been hardly any black disabled women.
Nope.
Characters as well. So we have that disparity as well, even though he's black and disabled, but you know, we still do not have more representation of all genders when it comes to the black disabled experience. But Garrett is just awesome. Like, I would want to be Garrett. Like, I just think for me, Garrett makes that show, and he's just so freaking funny. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, Garrett, you do that, boo.
Oh no, that was hilarious. No, because then I watch, the way he just hops on the intercom and just collects and gathers everybody, I'm just like, you know what? I would be doing the same exact thing if I worked at the store with these folks.
Exactly. Oh, there's also Speechless with JJ.
Yeah, okay, that was see, look at you. That's why you have notes and I should have notes. I'll probably edit this part out so people are like, what the hell is she doing? But you know, so what's the name of the show again?
Oh, Speechless.
Yes, on ABC, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it just came out this current season of the series, and it follows a teenager named JJ. An actor is actually disabled in this role, and actually disabled actor. And I don't really watch, it's not necessarily my type of comedy, but it is funny. They had a really good episode about inspiration porn earlier this year that really hit it on the head of exactly what it was. So if you're not really familiar with the term, watch the episode with Speechless, because that would definitely give you a clear definition and example of what inspiration porn is when it comes to really seeing disabled people as being something to really make you feel better about yourself, or mm-hmm. to really pity, and using our stories for your own gain or for your own feel good feeling. So I really feel that Speechless has been very good representation in many ways. I know there's some controversy in the community. Some people like it, some people don't. But I think it's pretty decent. Like I said, it's not my cup of tea as far as comedy, but it's a decent show to check out.
Yeah, and yeah, please watch that if you're not familiar with inspiration porn. Just please. Please watch it.
Get that education.
Yes, because it was, what was it? I think it was my freshman year of college. I was on my way. I had I signed up for 8 a.m. I think it was English class or something. It was like writing or whatever. Thinking that, oh, I'll go to class early and I'll be done. Oh, and just, that was the most foolish thing I've ever done in my life. So I think it was like, I don't know, 7:15 or 7:30, and I don't know what channel it was, but I believe it wasn't the 700 Club, but it was like something close to that, like a TBN or one of those Christian networks. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who was disabled. He was white. And I do remember he was in a wheelchair, and he was talking about, you know, you should not be basing, you know, your faith or teaching the love of God through what you think is my pain. Mm-hmm. And using that as a reason to be thankful. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, in that moment when I was watching it, it just really hit me of how messed up that is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Because that's dehumanizing, as I don't know what to say. Oh, well, look at this person. You will thank God you're not like that. And I'm just, how fucked up is that?
Yeah, like people use religion as a way to... People are so weird. They just use religion as this way to... kind of show sympathy, and it's like, why? You know, it's misplaced sympathy. Like, people come up to you. I think it's like, I never had it happen to me, and maybe it's just the way my appearance is. Like, don't come up to me with no nonsense. That's just the vibe I give off. But I know
I need to give off that vibe.
You know, but I know people, some of my friends have had people come to them and be like, oh, I'm going to pray for you. Or, you know, God loves you. What? Like, what? Like, yes, I know God loves me, but he did not tell you to give me that message so you can back off. You know? Right. But people do that. People would come up to you and, like, pray for you. I'm like,
I
believe in prayer, and I know prayer changes things, but unless Jesus come down and touch me himself, I'm still going to be in this wheelchair, whether you pray for me or not. So pray for my health. Pray for that. You know, I have a long life, but don't pray for me because I'm disabled, because I'm fine. You know, and I think that people use religion as this way to be twisted when it comes to their understanding of disability. And even though they mean well on the surface, it's still harmful. And regardless of your intentions, harm is harm. So don't do that. Like, so that message that he was saying was true. Like, don't use your religion to make me feel like I'm less than, or that I'm something to really feel sorry for. Because that's not empowering. That's not encouraging. That's not positive. When you see someone less than you just because they have a different life experience, that's not okay. That's not what, I didn't read that anywhere in the Bible. You know, and I read through it. So why are you doing that? That's not, no, that's not okay. But
right, like, it must be two Bibles, because I don't know.
I know you must be reading a different version, because that's not the version I was reading it. But people do that. People are very weird, especially when you have a visible disability. They are just very weird at how they interact with you, and it's really hard because you don't want to pop off. But at the same time, you're like, should I pop off just to teach him a lesson? Like, sometimes you have to think about that and be real. Like, how real do I want to be in this moment?
Like, no, but that's so real, though.
You know, and like, and it really, really makes me feel bad, because, you know, your need to, in your twisted way, validate me is not, does not overcome or supersede my comfort level. Like, I'm fine unless I need help. And I have no problem telling you. That's when you come up to me and be like, hey, do you need help? But let me be, let me live, let me go on about my business. It's like I'm going to let you go on about your business. And we're going to be all right. You know, I think people, like I say, it goes back to people not really understanding disability, and maybe, you know, not really know how to interact with people who are different.
And I think that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and I get that, but just stop being weird. Just stop being weird.
And I hate to, I think I had a lot of experiences in college, because I just, hearing you say that, I just thought about, I was in biology 101 or something like that. And there was a guy who sat up front all the time, and I was sitting all the way in the back, and he had dropped his pencil. So later on, when I actually got to know him, I learned that he had cerebral palsy. So it was really hard sometimes for him, you know, to have full motor control,
right,
and to get up and get the pencil. So I'm looking at the teacher, I'm looking at everybody around, and I'm just like, okay, he obviously can't get this pencil. So, like, is anybody going to get up? Like, it's, I think it's past the time of, you know, he's getting ready to fall and break his neck. So what are y'all doing? So I had to walk all the way down from the bleachers to, and I'm just like, you know, here. And he was just like, thank you. Then afterwards, I didn't think nothing of it. After that, he was just like, yeah, do you mind, you know, copying notes and stuff for me? Because the school offered services for the for students with disabilities. And sometimes that included no copying, or, you know, just the gamut of things, whatever was needed. So I'm just like, yeah, sure. And I don't know how much I helped him, but he definitely helped me, because I actually went to class every day. And it was really nice getting to know him, because I think it's, and I hate to say this, like, maybe it is an unlimited interaction. That doesn't excuse anything. But if that's the case, then you need to do a better job at learning folks that you, I mean, like, learning their experiences, getting to know them personally, so that you're not being inconsiderate jackass walking up to him and saying, I'm going to pray for you. And it's just like, but no, maybe somebody needs to pray for you for some understanding so you're not being all twisted about it.
Exactly. And like, that's the only thing you have to do is just ask somebody if they need help. Like, either somebody can say yes or no. Don't be afraid. And if they say no, then you back off and let them do them, or maybe you're not the type of person that they want to have them help, and that's their choice. I think that one thing people forget, that disabled people have a choice as to how we want to be approached and how we want to engage, you know, in our day-to-day life. And you need to respect boundaries. Like, boundaries doesn't go away just because somebody's disabled. No, I think people forget that we are people too. And if you wouldn't do that to somebody, you wouldn't just walk up to somebody who's not disabled and be like, ooh, I'm going to pray for you, and you touch all over them, then why would you do it to us?
Exactly. I mean, listen, when you really think about this, and it's just like, for Black folks, for instance, like, we don't want non-Black people and also white folks, you know, treating us some kind of way. So, I mean, you just have to, you have to have that same amount of thinking that goes, that spans everything. Right. Everything. It's the same thing applies.
Right. It's just like with Black women, we don't want people coming up and touching our hair.
Yes.
We don't want some random person. I don't want some random person while I'm wheeling around in the chair just touching me and be like, oh, like taking pictures and doing memes and wilding out. Like, no. Like, no. You need to respect people's space and, you know, autonomy. Like, no. That doesn't disappear just because I'm different from you.
Exactly. Ooh, girl. Say that again. Say it again.
Girl, that don't disappear because I'm different from you. And I think that we have to get used to differences, because we live in a day age where we have literally everything at our fingertips. Mm-hmm. And there really is no excuse for you to be in 2017 and not know at least one disabled person from an appropriate experience, like what you discussed, you know, with, that you experienced when you was in college. There's no excuse. There's no reason for you to still be ignorant about disabled people and our issues and how to interact with us. Because if you are, to me, you're ignorant by choice.
Yeah. And it's foolish ignorance, too. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, it really is. And you're actually, you know, limiting your human experience by not doing so. So, I don't get it. I really don't. It's just a click away. I almost want to create a podcast called Just a Click Away, because
you really should.
Because everything really is just a click away. And then also, you know, stop asking people to do free labor for you. You know, if someone provides you with the links to something, I think that's good in itself. Like, you shouldn't have to continually have to explain, well, this is why, this is XYZ, my personal experience, and then go back to XYZ. Is like, no. Oh, unless you about to pay me? No. Then here's the link. Right.
2017 is the year you pay me for my labor. Like, you cannot get this for free. And you're right. People, I hate to use the word lazy, but they're just plain lazy still.
They like, are. No, they are.
They're plain lazy. Like, okay, there's all this information out here. Okay, you may not know something about a particular subject, and that's cool. Somebody give you a link. Then you use that one resource and you go beyond that. You just don't stay in that one area. And I think that people are just lazy. They just want everything handed to them. I'm like, no. Like, you have to do the work to educate yourself, because that's important for you to grow and to learn as a person. That should be a priority for you, so that you are well-rounded in the way that you understand the world and view the world from not only your lens, but see it from the perspective of somebody else.
Exactly. And then not to view it in a different lens, because you need to then in turn feel better about the lens you're looking through, but to see it through someone else's lens so that you have a better understanding of how life works for everyone else.
Right. And have that empathy that is so missing in our society. And we see that right now with the current culture of dealing with Cheetos for almost past month, like almost 2 months now. And you see that lack of empathy and caring in this country. And it's like, what the heck happened since November to have this switch flip to where it's every man, woman, child for themselves, and nobody cares about anybody's experience or safety or value? Like, what? I know we really never, on the surface, never really cared about people, but at least we fake the funk better. I feel right. We fake the funk better But not, we just like, we just don't fake it anymore. We just don't be like, no, we just don't blatantly care. And I'm like, what the heck happened?
And then, like, I don't even know if that's, I'm trying to figure out whether or not that's worse or if faking the funk was worse. You know what I mean? Because at least with it being known that you don't give two craps about me, then one, well, no, I don't know how we go about addressing someone else's issues with dealing with, you know, caring, having empathy. But to bring on these conversations and to amplify more voices that speak to those experiences. But it's just, it's like, you're right. It's just like, folks just like, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. I don't care. And it's horrible because with this man in office, this is the worst time for people to not love thy neighbor.
Right.
Not him though. He's not a neighbor. I don't know what him and his people in the cabinet, they're not neighbors. I don't know what they are. No. Ain't talking about them.
But I don't know. It just really boggles my mind because how do we get to this point to where even when we were faking the funk, mm-hmm. I didn't feel unsafe. Like,
no, I got you right.
I didn't feel unsafe. I feel like all of us feel so unsafe right now, where this is just this real fear of anything could happen to any one of us, and nobody could care. Like, I think that really bothers me the most. Like, people, there's atrocities happening to people. People getting shot because they're of color. And, you know, we have trans women getting murdered and this and that. And nobody's really caring about people dying in our streets, in our communities, because they are who they are. Whether they're disabled, of color, LGBT, immigrant, whatever have you. They're being victimized, traumatized, and in some cases murdered. Just for existing, and we don't care about that. And how did we get so heartless to where we don't care about human life to the fullest?
Unless it's at your doorstep, that's when folks start to care. Like the case with the Milo or whatever the heck the dude's name was that ended up having the book deal revoked because the pedophilia came out and he wanted to mess with little boys, and the white guys were like, oh, that affects me, so let's get rid of it. That's a problem.
But they didn't care about him harassing everybody else under the sun. I know I got harassed when I created my hashtag by his little minions that got upset about it. So, you know, me, you, and everybody else who got victimized or at risk of being victimized by him, y'all didn't care about us, right? So it took this, you know, another horrific thing for him to support or say for you to be like, oh, okay, now this is really a problem. We need to handle it. No, this has always been a problem, but you chose to ignore it.
Exactly. And that in itself is just a whole can of hell. It really is.
I feel like we are in hell. Like
for real.
Every day it's something like, I just stop watching the news. If I don't get it on Facebook or Twitter, I'm not gonna know what's going on because I can't watch it. Because it's just, I feel like the news is going to be this propaganda piece to where it's gonna feed into the ridiculousness, you know, eventually. And it's already starting.
Yeah, tenfold. Mm-hmm. And then you got a president that tweets like, you know, your average fuckboy, really?
Girl. Say that again. Yes. Like, you having a rap beef with Snoop Dogg. Really? Like,
and then Bow Wow jumped in it.
Bow Wow is so irrelevant. Like, I'm not even paying no attention to him. Like,
hold on. You know how I knew? One, whenever he's trending, I'm like, I know he did something stupid. And then two, when I saw his government name, Shad Moss, trending, I was like, this fool done really messed up. He didn't mess up with white folks.
They got his whole government. They're like, no, we going to point you out, Negro. Or in his case, I'm mixed. I'm like, boy, you mixed with foolishness. Yes, sis. Yes, you are. Yes, yes.
Grade A foolishness.
But I just like, you don't have... Like Trump, like Fortify, I'm not going to even call his name. Like Fortify doesn't have anything other to do than to fight with Snoop Dogg. You don't have no other presidential business to be about except to fight with Snoop Dogg. Really? I really want my life to be that grand to where I have not a care in the world unless I have to get in a battle with an old rapper. Look, that must be life goals right there, because I don't understand it.
White mediocrity at his best. And he not even white mediocrity. He is just like, girl, he's somewhat down there. All right, well, let's not go down the cheating and road. And actually, let's wrap this up on a positive note.
Yes, ma'am.
And that could be anything that you have going on this month or soon, and just really just anything that you want to just put out there in the universe, whether it is happened yet or you would like it to happen before, you know, 2017 is over, please feel free to shout it out. So yeah, let's end it on a good note.
Okay, well, my goals for 2017 is to expand on my work, and I've really been giving a lot of thought about what that means for me, and I just this week relaunched my services to really hone in on some of the topics that matter to me that I've been able to talk about, such as intersectionality, racism, and white supremacy in the disabled community, sexuality, education, just some of the main topics that I've known for, to be able to really give from the Black disabled lens or the disabled lens in general. So that's something that I've really been focusing more on doing, with establishing myself as a speaker, a presenter, as more of a writer, all the things that I really find that I've really enjoyed doing over the past 4 years, and really making it my focus, because I really want my advocacy work to really be my full-time job. And in a lot of ways, it doesn't really feel like a job, because I really enjoy what I'm doing. So that's been my main goal in 2017, is to put myself out there more. I got a couple of events lined up. I'll be, this starts in April, I'll be in D.C. for the National Association of Black Social Workers Conference. I'll be presenting about my hashtag, Disability2White, and telling Black social workers how to empower Black disabled women in their work. I'll be in Atlanta towards the end of April for a gala for Disability Link, which is a independent living center agency in Atlanta, and it's their annual fundraiser. So I got a couple of events lining up on my calendar that I'm trying to do. So if you want to have me speak at your event, or do a presentation, or do something virtually, I am very open to that. On my website, I have a tab called RIV Services, and that's where you can learn all about that and fill out the Google form and pay assistant in 2017, because we are not about free labor. We are about valuing the work of Black women, us getting paid, and you respecting the expertise and the knowledge that we have amassed and that you need to be better at what you do. So that's what I'm putting out there in the universe in 2017, is to really get my message out more, to really engage more with Black disabled women through some of my series. I really am more about telling our stories, to really connect with more women like you, Steph, who are creating their own spaces and who will allow women like myself to come on and share about what we do and have these great conversations. So I'm open to really get to know people, and you all get to know me, and really supporting each other, because, you know, we're really going to need more of that, you know, over the next couple of years.
Oh, for sure. And beyond. So yeah, no problem at all. I was actually like, well, if I email her and ask her, I'm like, maybe she'll tell me no. But I'm so happy that you said yes, because after hearing you on Black Girl Nerds podcast, I was like, yeah, I need to talk to Melissa.
I had a good time on that, and just like I had a good time here. So when you reach out to me, I'm like, oh my god, I fangirl. I'm like, oh my god, step up to talk to me. I'm like, oh.
Do not make me blush. My ears are on fire. The lies you tell, but
not lies. The truth, honey. The truth.
I appreciate it. And please, please let the folks know where they can find your website. Because also, once again, typing and clicking, both easy to do. And also where they can find you on social media and, you know, anywhere else.
All right. Well, you can find me on rampyourvoice.com. That's where you see all my articles and my services and the things that I am getting into. You can also find me on Twitter at Valissa Thompson and at Ramp Your Voice. And you can also find me on Facebook at Ramp Your Voice. And you can email me at Valissa@rampyourvoice.com. That's Valissa@rampyourvoice.com. Whether you just want to say how much you enjoyed this particular episode, which you should be enjoying it, as well as any questions you may have about my work, or if you want to have any inquiries about my services, or you just want to say hello. I love getting those emails as well. So just hit me up. I'm available. You'll probably see me and Step do some banter on Twitter. You know, just us wilding out as we always do. So I'm around always.
Wait, child. I've been pronouncing your name wrong this whole time.
Everybody pronounced it wrong.
I'm not. But why? You are.
Step, look. Damn it. Help and unique name. You just go with the flow, honey. I did that to Sean, too. Sean was like, I was saying your name wrong. I'm like, Sean, it's okay. I do not, look, as long as you spell it correctly, that's all I care about. It's spelled correctly.
Hold on. Let me tell you about, because we're still going to record this. Folks need to know. Let me tell you, in my mind, I was like, you know what? I should ask, but I got this. And I did not. And I was just like, thanks. So, Misty Knight's Uninformed Afro, I've really learned how terrible I am with names, so thanks a lot. And then when you said Violet, I was like, in my mouth, my face, I just had to pick it up off the ground. I was like, damn it, girl, you should have asked.
No, trust me, do not feel bad. Look, there are people in my family who get my name wrong. I've been called Vanessa before, so trust me.
Oh, hell no.
Trust me, so trust me. That is not a worry for me at all, Step, trust me. Trust me, I've been called everything under the sun. People think it's Melissa. I'm like, no.
Good Lord.
Letter, like, I don't understand why you even doing that. I like, bless you. Like, I'm gonna have to pray for you. That's a pray for you moment if you call me Melissa, okay?
And Vanessa, too, because I mean, it ain't no ends nowhere near that. Oh, yes, Lord,
trust me, that I have no problem. Like, people say it either way. I just, like I said, you spell it right on the documentation, that's all I care about. Like, I don't care, spell it right on the checks, that's all I care about. I don't care how you say it.
I hate it. Okay, well, thank you for next time, because I will have you on again. I will have Violissa correct the next time, because I should not just sitting hands on my hip, just going to town. And
don't worry about it. Look, this is real right here. This is a real moment right here. Don't worry about it at all. Shoot, I had a good time.
Well, thank you again for coming on. I enjoyed your company, and God, I really hope that Misty Knight solo comment comes out, because I would love to talk to you about that in detail. And also, I hope in Luke Cage season 2 or Defenders or whenever, they really do take Misty to where she is in the comics, because I just really think that's important. I really do.
And I love, like, can we just talk about Simone Mystic? Like, Simone,
oh
is
my god, yes,
freaking awesome. Like, it really made me fangirl when I did, like, a couple of tweets about Misty Knight when Luke Cage came out, that she liked him. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. my God. Like, she's like my stuff. Like, ah, she's so cool. Like, what you said in the Misty Knight on the Foreign Afro podcast about, you know, Simone being Misty Knight. Like, she is Misty Knight. Like, nobody she else is. Should play Misty but Simone. Like, she just embodies everything about Misty. And I'm just like, she's just such a phenomenal actress. And I'm like, they could not have done better than Simone.
I mean, they really knocked that out the park. And those twist outs.
And then, like her and Luke Cage, even that chemistry between them, I'm like, I know everybody, him and Claire, but I'm all for Luke and Misty. That may never happen, but that's my ship, and I would go down with that ship forever, whether it comes.
I'll get on that ship with you. Hell, both them ships can dock, and we can get a little, you know what? I mean, not, because this isn't Lemonade After Dark, so I'm going to...
Look, if anything, like, first episode of Luke Cage can go down, look, I am all for it, okay? Look, that was hot. I was like, oh, Lord.
I had to cut it. I had to pause it and go get a drink of water. And then I had to pray, because I was like, do I need an adult? Because, my God.
You talk about some chemistry?
Whoa. I wasn't ready.
Nobody was ready for that. I was like, whoa. That's how you really feel? Okay.
God. See, this does, and it's probably a good thing they did not continue it, because we will all just be a mess right now. So maybe they did us a favor.
They were saving us from ourselves.
And then maybe they did us well, they didn't do themselves any favor. Maybe they did us a favor not casting Lewis as Iron Fist. Because can you imagine Lewis and Simone, ooh, that chemistry?
Can we talk about Lewis for a second?
Oh, we sure can.
That man. Well, like, he liked some of my tweets when I was, you know, fangirl over him. I'm like, Lewis, boy?
You better watch out.
Messed up. I'll tell you right now. I'm like, what? I'm like, let me find out about Lewis. I'm like, whoo.
Well, he posted something today. Oh, man. I was too caught up in how he looked in the picture. I didn't forget the name of him. But it's, and I think I retweeted it, but he has a project I believe he's doing with Lexi Alexander. So it looks like we'll be getting some more Lewis Tan, starring in his own thing. So I don't know what the project is, but whenever it's out, be it at the movie theater, straight to streaming, whatever, but I will be there with my coins ready to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, Lewis, I tell you, ladies, you can pass up on these some of these men if you want to. Move out my way.
Right.
Like, I was like, what? Is there some of these dudes? I'm like, it makes no sense for you to be that fine.
Right.
Like, really? Like, God, you didn't have to put all that sexiness in one body. Like, you could have spread it around.
I know, and that's why I don't understand for the life of me why they went the direction they did, but you know what? I could probably talk about that. I'm not even going to do it, but...
You know what? People hating on the sexy.
I think that's what it is. I think, you know what? That is exactly what it is. Because they put a shrimp noodle in place of it. But that is all the shade that I will have.
So, rightful shade. Rightful. But yeah, that's another one. I'm like, Lord Hemerson.
Oh, girl. He probably tweeted something else while we've been talking. What? So,
I know he did this, like, little DJ thing one night. I'm like, look at you with your little DJ skills. I'm like, you talented too?
Right. Okay. Oh, cool. No, not the church lady.
Look, the fan, like,
yes. You are killing me.
See, we are cutting up. I told you we were going to cut up.
I knew we were. And you know what, guys? I'm not cutting any of this out. So I hope. I hope you have been a kikin and a cackling along with us. And as always, you can follow me at Steph_I_Will and also at Lemonade Show. And if you haven't and the spirit moves you, go ahead and head over to my Patreon. Doing some things there because you guys have been so generous. So some new things, some new podcasts will be coming down the pipeline soon. And I think that's it. So by the time you listen to this, like I said, hopefully the whole IF shit storm has settled and things have been cleaned up and we've moved on in life, but we've moved on and actually learned a lesson. So we'll see. But I'll catch you guys later.